Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2262 with a release date of Friday, March 5th, 2021 follows in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Wyoming students finally get their space QSOs. A solar panel promises more energy for Earth, and a new video tells the story of a classic broadcast transmitter's rescue. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2262 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent weekly amateur radio news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We begin this week with the story of a promise fulfilled. In the language of space, Perseverance isn't just the name of a rover on Mars. It's a quality that paid off among students in Wyoming who, after a failed attempt in January, finally got their QSO with the International Space Station. Here's Mike Askins, KE5CXP, with the details.
Students at Wyoming's New Castle High School were flying high, at least in spirit, on Monday, March 1st. Their amateur radio contact with ISS Commander Mike Hopkins, KF5LJG, was a success at last, after their first try failed as a result of technical troubles with the U.S. astronauts' radio. With that radio down for repairs, the QSO took place via the Russians' 2-meter rig instead, and the students' questions rolled in fast, making the most of their precious 10-minute window for contact. After hearing how bok choy and mustard is grown in space, how astronauts gently toss a football around for amusement, and how a microgravity environment can cause fluid in the ears, the students wrapped things up by saying 73. The contact, accomplished with the help of a multi-point telebridge network, was a triumph for the high school as much as the ARIS program. It marked the first time in the ARIS program's 20-year history that it has organized a QSO with students in Wyoming. To hear the QSO, visit the YouTube site that appears in the printed version of this week's script. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5CXP.
In the meantime, ARIS Chair Frank Bauer, KA3HDO, announced that efforts were underway to identify the issue that caused the radio to fail in January, and a team is working with NASA and the European Space Agency on a solution. Meanwhile, big things have been happening outside the ISS, too. Paul Brown, WD9GCO, picks up the story from here.
For two amateur radio operators aboard the International Space Station, it was their moment in the sun, literally. NASA flight engineers Kate Rubens, KG5FYJ, and Victor Glover, KI5BKC, took the first moves towards a power upgrade for the space station during a 7-hour and 4-minute spacewalk to outfit the new solar arrays with modification kits. If the view for observers was a little more spectacular than usual, consider that Rubens' helmet held a high-definition video camera for the first time and was streaming the action live. Videos had been taken previously using a helmet cam, of course, but only with standard definition. NASA was quick to point out that the present solar arrays on the ISS are working fine, but they are degrading and approaching the end of their useful life. The spacewalk was designed to prepare for the installation of new solar arrays, which are expected to be sent to the ISS aboard a SpaceX vehicle starting in June. Meanwhile, there is still work to be done. NASA officials said that the upgrade is to be completed by Friday, March 5th, with Rubens returning accompanied by another amateur radio operator, Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency astronaut Soichi Noguchi, KD5-TVP. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9-GCO.
In the UK, the telecommunications regulator recently delivered a rapid response to a report of radio interference. But this wasn't exactly an amateur radio crisis. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, explains.
It took barely half an hour for Ofcom, the telecommunications regulator in the UK, to respond swiftly to an urgent report of widespread RF interference, calling it a high-priority case. Even the local police got involved and awaited the arrival of a spectrum engineer dispatched from Ofcom's Spectrum Management Centre, which operates around the clock. The crisis at hand wasn't jam signals reported by radio operators, but the failure of shoppers at a Hertfordshire superstore to use their key fobs to unlock their vehicles in the car park. Because the key fobs use radio spectrum at very low power, they're subject to interference issues in the same way as other radio equipment. Using his spectrum analyzer, the engineer was unable to pinpoint the source of the interference, which could have been simply light bulbs or a malfunctioning doorbell. The situation had already resolved itself by the time he arrived. Hams in the UK should report any and all interference to Ofcom via the web address given in the text version of this report at arnewsline.org, even if their vehicle's key fob is working fine. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
Imagine getting a QSL card from Pluto. Thousands did. Well, okay, it wasn't really Pluto. It was the next best thing, a special event station celebrating Pluto. Here's Randy Sly, W4XJ, with the details.
Amateur radio operators from around this world recently celebrated the discovery of another world, Pluto, which was first seen in 1930 by astronomer Clyde Tombaugh. Special Event Station W7P, with P for Pluto, was activated last month by the Northern Arizona DX Association for the Pluto Anniversary Countdown Special Event. There will be an event counting down each of the next 10 years, ending with the centennial year 2030. This was a particularly special event for Doug Tombaugh, N3PDT, nephew of the astronomer who made the discovery. Doug marked the occasion by operating, along with three other amateurs, as W7P-0, logging 1,191 contacts. He said he especially enjoyed talking with other amateurs who knew his uncle or were involved in other activities related to Pluto. Countdown coordinator Bob Wirtz, NF7E, said in all, 15 amateurs logged more than 7,000 contacts from their home QTHs as well as from a communications trailer on the grounds of Lowell Observatory where Clyde first made his discovery. The countdown begins again next year on February 12th, the last Saturday before the February 18th anniversary itself. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Randy Sly, W4XJ.
Now here's a story that should energize you. A ham radio operator has helped develop a way to bring more of the sun's power home to Earth. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, sheds light on this one.
Amateur radio ingenuity has helped lead to the development of a prototype solar panel designed to transmit electricity to Earth from outer space. Launched in May of 2020 aboard a Pentagon drone, the device is known as the Photovoltaic Direct Current to Radio Frequency Antenna Module, or PRAM for short. Project co-developer Paul Jaffe, KJ4IKI, said in a recent CNN report that the PRAM underwent a successful test recently by the United States Department of Defense at the U.S. Naval Research Laboratory. He said the PRAM produces about 10 watts of energy for transmission, but could be scaled up, bringing the promise of transmitting energy to the power grids back home on Earth. The panel uses the blue waves of light in space, which become diffused when entering the Earth's atmosphere. It captures these waves, which are more powerful than sunlight on Earth, and retains that energy. No, the PRAM hasn't yet sent any of that power back home, but scientists say the tests have shown it works. The concept is to beam microwaves to Earth for conversion into electricity wherever it is needed. Paul told CNN the next move would be to expand its ability to collect even more sunlight to prepare it for that microwave transportation back to Earth. Team co-leader Chris DePuma told CNN the technology would be especially useful in regions where natural disasters have taken down the power grid. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
If you're one of those amateur radio operators who likes to get on the air from the air as a pilot, this next story from Andy Morrison, K9AWM, might have you in mind.
Dan Heilman, WO5WO, is a ham with a high-flying idea. A former airline pilot turned middle school teacher has another project on the runway. He's planning to start a podcast this summer devoted to hams who enjoy being in the air as much as they like to be on the air. He'd like to bring hams on board for rag chews about fly-ins, de-expeditions, FAA flight safety tips, and projects that combine being a pilot and an amateur radio operator. He's especially interested in stories of famous and not-so-famous hams in the sky. He told Newsline in an email that the podcast is, quote, just a fun way to connect already connected hobbies, end quote, and he can't guarantee there won't be more than a few corny jokes along the way. He said he hopes the half-hour, bi-weekly podcast will inspire youngsters to think about flying and radio as two related hobbies. He's working with a ham radio friend who's a former Air Force pilot, and together they're hoping to, well, get things off the ground. Dan welcomes any and all ideas. You can reach him via email at flyinghams78@gmail.com. who knows what ideas might just take wing. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WA2EHL repeater in Burlington, New Jersey, Fridays at 7 p.m. local time. Hams in South Africa are partnering with hams in Kenya to help that nation's newest amateurs. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, brings us that story.
The Communication Authority of Kenya has approved a memorandum of understanding that will allow the South African Radio League to assist the Radio Society of Kenya by administering the technical parts of the amateur license exam. Regulator approval of the agreement was announced in late February. The memorandum outlines how the Kenyan Radio Society will continue to administer the regulations and operating procedure portions, but states that the South African group will conduct online courses for training of the Kenyan amateurs and provide the training manuals and presentation material as well. The arrangement, which had been worked out during the past 6 months, can now go forward. SARL has similar agreements in place with Namibia and Botswana. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
When it copied signals recently from two space probes near Mars, AMSAT Germany was listening for a special reason. Ed Durant, DD5LP, explains.
AMSAT DL, which has a long-term goal to launch a space probe to Mars, has been listening meanwhile to probes from China and the Emirates that are in orbit around the planet. Using the Bochum University dish at Sternwarte Bochum Institute, the German AMSAT organization has copied signals from Tianwen-1 and EMM Hope, both of which are transmitting on 8.4 GHz. AMSAT DL makes use of the dish on a regular basis to receive transmission from the NASA and NOAA weather satellites. Built in 1965 to provide ground support for the Apollo missions, the dish was renovated in 2003 with the help of amateur radio operators who added phased locked receivers in the 2.3 GHz, 5.8 GHz and 10.4 GHz amateur bands, along with the 8.4 GHz receiver. The dish also has an S-band 2.4 GHz amateur transmitter with 250 watts PEP output. The dish, which is 20 metres or 65.6 feet in diameter, copied signals from Voyager 1 in 2006. AMSAT Germany's plan for a probe of its own dates back to 2002, when preparations began for a way to circle Mars, conduct experiments, and leave a payload on the planet's surface. Scientists hope that the German P5A probe will be capable of transmitting on amateur radio frequencies receivable on Earth using a 2 to 3-metre parabolic antenna. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Hams in Brazil have challenged the nation's regulator, saying its lack of response is keeping hams off the air. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has this one.
Brazil's amateur radio society, Labre, has told the nation's communications regulator, Anatel, that problems communicating with them and their website have been standing in the way of many who wish to operate legally on the ham bands. In a letter dated the 23rd of February, the radio organisation Labre acknowledged that the recent introduction of online licence testing had eased some of the difficulties in getting on the air, but hams are now thwarted by the bureaucracy they face in order to complete the process. The letter cited excessive days waiting and a lack of communication from Anatel. Labre said that these difficulties have been reported by newly licensed amateurs as well as those qualifying for upgrades. In a report of the letter which appeared on Southgate Amateur Radio News, there had been no immediate response from the Brazilian regulator. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
It's time to think about Amateur Radio Camp, and the application period is now open for young hams throughout North, Central, and South America. The Youth on the Air Camp will take place from July 11th through July 16th at the National Voice of America Museum in Westchester, Ohio, and will welcome as many as 30 campers aged 15 through 25. Scholarships are available for those who cannot afford the $100 camp fee. The window to apply closes on March 21st at 2359 UTC. For details or to download a brochure, visit youthontheair.org. Organizers will announce in April whether the camp needs to be rescheduled in response to COVID-19 restrictions, but for now, plans are going forward. Speaking of young hams, we've opened the nomination period for our annual Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Memorial Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award. Think of a young radio amateur whose commitment to the community and whose enthusiasm for radio has inspired you and others, and submit their name. Nominees must be 18 or younger, living in the United States, its possessions, or any Canadian province. Downloadable nomination forms can be found on our website, arnewsline.org. In the world of DX, be listening for special event station GB2CR in Scotland until the 18th of March. The special call sign suffix CR stands for Collins Radio, and the operators will be using vintage valve/tube radio equipment manufactured in the U.S. by Collins. Be listening on 80 through 10 meters, mostly SSB with some CW. All QSOs will be uploaded to Clublog. Be listening for Bill, K9HZ, Kyle, WA4PGM, and Dan, W0CN, active as J68 Hotel Zulu, from a villa in St. Lucia until March 11th. Their activity is usually on 160 through 2 meters, using CW, SSB, FT8, and EME. QSL J68 Hotel Zulu, via Logbook of the World, EQSL, or direct to K9HZ. Steon, LB5SH, will be active as JW/LB5SH from the JW5E club station on Spitsbergen Island in the Norwegian archipelago of Svalbard. He's expected to be on the air between March 25th and March 28th on various HF bands using SSB and FT8. He'll also be in the CQ Worldwide WPX SSB contest on March 27th and 28th using the call sign JW2T. Send QSLs to JW/LB5SH and possibly JW2T via Logbook of the World or Clublog. And finally, be listening for Ian, ZS6JSI, who began operating from Benin as ZS6JSI/TY in January and expects to be there for 6 months. Be listening mostly on 20 meters, where he's using FT8. He also operates mobile and can be heard at times on 80, 40, and 20 meters using SSB and FT8. For details, visit his page on QRZ.com. And finally this week, if you've ever refurbished an old boat anchor, you know the challenges of adding a piece of history to your shack. No doubt you can relate to this next story about a powerful old Collins boat anchor. Ralph Squalachi, KK6ITB, tells us about a new video that chronicles its rescue and its cross-country journey several years ago.
The control room and the Collins 250,000-watt transmitters, once used by Voice of America at its Delano relay station in California, is transmitting history now instead of U.S. government broadcasts that began during World War II into the Pacific Rim and Central and South America. The transmitter, once part of Delano Relay DL-8, is now part of the permanent exhibit at the Antique Wireless Association Museum in Bloomfield, New York, where its cross-country journey ended almost 6 years ago with the help of the museum, the Collins Collectors Association, and the VOA. A video moderated by Dennis Kidder, W6DQ, and recently uploaded by the museum, shows the painstaking effort of the team to save the 821A-1 transmitter from the bulldozer headed its way after Voice of America halted its operations there in 2007. The team, working to do disassembly and transport on a tight deadline, consisted of Jim Stitchinger, WA3CEX, Bill Cairns, N7OTQ, Rod Bloxham, N0DAS, CCA President Scott Kerr, KE1RR, and Vince Baker from the VOA, among others. This was not just Collins' most powerful transmitter for a shortwave broadcaster, it could also auto-tune within 20 seconds, helping it successfully avoid jammers seeking to silence the U.S. government's messages. Its story, however, remains unsilenced. Visitors have shared its message and its history at the Antique Wireless Museum and now in this 40-minute video uploaded to YouTube in February. A link to the video appears in the script of this week's newscast on our website, arnewsline.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ralph Squillaci, KK6-ITB.
With thanks to the ACMA, Amateur News Weekly, AMSAT-DL, the Antique Wireless Association, the ARRL, Collins Collectors Association, CQ Magazine, CNN, David Behar, EOS, Ofcom, Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, QRZ.com, South African Radio League, Southgate Amateur Radio News, ShortwaveRadio.de, Space.com, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, The Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, YouTube, YOTA America's Camp, and you, our listeners, That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. So for now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2021. All rights are reserved.